Today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 13, and the gospel according to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Today's message is titled, Mercy Freely Given. Hear the word of God from 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardships with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying. For the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Here ends the lesson. Holy Gospel according to Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 11. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priests. As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Rise. And go. Your faith has made you well. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A few weeks ago, we sang the medical missionary sister's song, I Cannot Come. I cannot come to the banquet. And at that time, I shared with you that we would sing another one of their songs when the time came, about the 10 lepers. Today's the day For the gospel account tells of the event of 10 lepers crying out to Jesus for compassion. The chorus is 10 unclean and nowhere to go, 10 men cleansed as clean as snow. One returned to give God thanks, but 9 went away. Being a leper was being an outcast. Literally, there was nowhere to go. Life as beggars on the side of the road, living as outcasts in caves, or trying to find other shelter to even sleep at night. A rather terrible life, as they were socially isolated and reduced the chance of the spread of the sickness. Leviticus chapter 13 contains the law of the Lord concerning skin diseases. From Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes. Let his hair be kept unkept. Cover the lower part of his face and cry out, "Unclean, unclean!" As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. Live outside the camp became to live outside the town, live outside the village, live outside the city, live outside and away from all others. Early social distancing practices. And we all know from experience how hard it is to social distance, and we know the cost of social distance. The relationship cost, the learning cost. The cost of simply wearing a mask and not seeing the lips so you learn how to speak the language properly and staying away from others. The first Sunday after mid-March 2020 recommendation for social distancing, basically meaning stay at home as much as possible and only go out for critical needs, and avoid gathering of people to slow the spread. Do it for 2 weeks, 14 days, that's all. That first Sunday, March 29th, 2020, Heather and I came into the church on Sunday morning to record the reading of the scripture lesson and the gospel lesson along with the sermon message. Heather up in the balcony, I here in the pulpit, no one else in the building. Lights were on. House was pretty much empty. It was a surreal sensation of reading the lessons in the gospel and preaching. Lights on, house empty. The next week, we were set up for outdoor worship services. Me outside, standing outside the doors facing the parking lot, and you in your cars listening over the radio. Inside, with themselves masked and socially distanced, the team, Dave and Beth, providing the music and responses, and Tony and Nick running tech. As time and the 2 weeks kept going and going, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, oh, Christmas rolled around. I put up the 12-foot Christmas tree, decorated it. Just had to have some Christmas decorations. Even though only a handful of people who helped lead worship would be the only ones to see the tree, as we were still sitting separately, socially distancing in our individual cars 9 months later. In all honesty, we're still suffering from those times, especially the children and their learning, the masks, the remote learning, the children. Will they catch up on what they lost? Will congregations gather again like they used to gather? Extrapolate those emotions. Extrapolate those feelings from that experience of these past 2+ years now into a lifetime of living outside the camp, socially isolated, living, struggling to live day by day, moment by moment, too, crying, "Unclean! Unclean!" wherever you went so others would stay away from you, with your lower half of your face covered, crying, "Unclean! Unclean!" shunned and suffering physically, suffering emotionally, too. Luke uses the transitional phrase of, "and it came to pass." As Jesus was continuing making his way towards Jerusalem, Luke uses an interesting word here. The English is translated, on his way to Jerusalem, on his way. It misses the meaning of what "on his way" actually means. The Greek word translated as "on his way," which I'm not going to try to pronounce this morning, it means to travel, to go, to journey, moving from one destination to the other destination. But this Greek word emphasizes the personal meaning attached to reaching the destination. That personal meaning of attached to reaching that particular destination. It was this time 2 years ago. I was preparing to go to Decorah. And you may all recall what that means to me personally. I'm going to Decorah, to my father's funeral, to take my dad to his final resting place beside my mom. Journeying with me would be my father's ashes. So go to Decorah is full of meaning. My mom was born there. I was born there. Many summers were spent there with grandparents. And that's where generations of family have been laid to rest, with my dad being laid to rest there as the last one so far, almost 2 years ago. On my way to Decorah, that destination is full of personal meaning for me. For you, perhaps, a destination as, "let's go to Grandma's." That's full of special meaning for you. And those feelings that would be yours when you know you're on the way to Grandma's, or on the way to Grandpa's, or on the way to the cabin at the lake up north, or on the way to the beach. You have that special place, that destination. And you say that place and all these feelings and emotions come forth. That's what this word means in the Greek. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. This is what Luke is communicating using that word, "on his way to Jerusalem." Jesus on his way to Jerusalem is full of meaning for him, for what will happen there. Jesus has been resolutely heading towards Jerusalem since the end of Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 51, "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem." Several sections ago in this Gospel of Luke, Luke tells us Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. His way to suffering and death that will happen there. This is why Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, that destination full of so much meaning. On the edge of Samaria and Galilee, Jesus was, and he was heading towards Jerusalem. Upon entering an unnamed village, 10 leprous men meet Jesus there. 10 standing far off, shouting at the top of their lungs, louder than those rooting for Ohio State football, for they were shouting for their lives. "Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. Jesus, Master, take pity on us. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Mercy, pity, compassion. That is what the Greek word means. And the Helps Word Studies adds a depth of meaning, writing, "It's all on God's covenant loyalty mercy." All of this is after calling out for this based on God's covenant loyalty of mercy. God acting on his own terms according to that very special relationship of the covenant. The Lord being faithful to his covenant. This faithfulness is echoed in Paul's letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. "Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we disown Him, He will disown us. If we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. God faithful, even when we're unfaithful. Obtain salvation in Jesus Christ. We'll come back to that in a moment. But focus for this moment on, here is a trustworthy saying. This is a saying you can put your faith in. You can trust it. And then you have a series of rhyming words. There's a rhyming pattern there. You don't see it in the English, but it's there in the Greek, a rhyming pattern. And the pattern of this rhyming pattern and the manner of the words, it gives the indication that this was an early poem of the church or an early hymn of the church, spoken or sung regularly. If we died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If all that, that's what that is. If we are faithless, He will remain faithful, for He cannot disown Himself. What this means is the Lord is God and will be and always act according to who He is as God. In the Old Testament, this reality is expressed through the covenant relationship of the Lord. The Lord God always remained connected to Israel, keeping the covenant with them, even though oftentimes they fell away and disobeyed the covenant. Still, the Lord was their God and loved them as His own. And you know the story, when they repented, God sent a deliverer. So there's lots of judges and deliverers listed there in the Old Testament account. That same reality is true for us as His redeemed children of God through Christ. As Christ dies and rose, we too have died in Him, and we will rise like Him, in Him. Obtaining salvation in Christ, which is full of glory. On the basis of the covenant relationship, the 10 lepers are crying out for mercy. Show mercy as the Lord God shows mercy. Jesus does. Keep in accordance with the word of the Lord, God spoken to Moses and recorded in Leviticus chapter 13, Jesus says, go. Show yourselves to the priests. Leviticus 13 has the regulations about infectious skin diseases. Show yourself to the priest, for the priest, after examination, has the authority to declare you clean. Declared clean by the priest, the leper could return to normal life within the community, within the town, city, could go home. Could have freedom again to live life again. Again, Luke uses the word that emphasizes the personal meaning attached to reaching the destination. Go to the priest, restoring of life, normal daily life, when the priest declares you clean. So there's a meaning to going to that destination. There's a personal meaning. I will be declared clean. I can get my life back. Will I be declared clean? I have to go to the priest to find out. Will I get my life back? Work back, family back, a home to live in? Will I be clean? Go to the priest. And it came to pass, in the going of them, they were cleansed. That's the Greek word order. And it came to pass, in the going of them, they were cleansed. It came to pass. The Greek word emphasizes a significant change in condition. So as their location was changed, leaving where they were, calling out to Jesus to go show themselves to the priests, as they changed location by the mighty healing power of the living God, their condition was changed by God's mighty action from the realm of eternity into the physical realm. All of that meaning is put into these words here in the Greek. Their condition was changed, as their location was changed, by God's mighty action, bringing from the realm of eternity into the physical realm their healing. A miracle by the mighty creative power of God, from the realm of the eternal God coming into the physical realm as their flesh was changed from rotten and diseased to healthy, beautifully healthy. More healthy than you can even imagine. More healthy than you can imagine. All that did not belong in healthy human flesh was removed by the mighty healing power of the living God. That's what those words mean. Remember, Luke is a physician, and healings were of particular interest to him. And he often wrote about healings happening. They were cleansed. The word literally means removing all admixture. That is, the interminglings of filth. So removing all that does not belong there to be just healthy human flesh. Made pure. It's the best image I can sort of give you is as drinking water is made pure by removing all contaminants, removing all the admixture, the contaminants, removing all that does not belong there. The 10 lepers' human flesh had all that does not belong in healthy human flesh removed and made pure again. And not only that, the unhealthy removed, anything that had been so badly damaged, lost, fallen off, as that sometimes, oftentimes happens, they now have healthy human flesh restored. Pure once again. Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 15. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. One of them, having seen that he was healed, having seen is more than seeing with his eyes his flesh was restored. There is a spiritual component to that seeing. A spiritual component to that seeing. So not only has something happened to his flesh, something has happened inside spiritually. And this one is spiritually seized. Something has spiritually happened to him. His flesh is healed, and he also sees, something's happened to me. Something has happened spiritually inside. Seeing his flesh healed, this one also sees then the significance of the man who said, go show yourselves to the priests. Spiritually sees, there's more to this Jesus. As such, he turns around and begins shouting at the top of his lungs, glorifying God. As he reaches Jesus, he falls down on his face at the feet of Jesus. That's a posture of worship. It's a posture of supplication. It's a posture of humbleness. It's also a posture of admitting, I am guilty. So he falls down before Jesus, that posture of worship, humbleness, and all those things wrapped into it. And this one was a Samaritan, indicating the other nine were Jews, more than likely. Their common calamity, their common suffering, it brought Jews and Samaritan together as the 10 lepers. Their commonness, their calamity of being outcast as lepers brought them together. We usually shun each other. Now they're healed. The bond seems to be broken. And the nine separate themselves from the one, as they did not go back with the one to Jesus. Luke 17, starting at verse 17. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? Was no one found to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Well, of course Jesus knew all 10 were cleansed. Jesus is pointing out the obvious for all to see. Where's the other nine? Because they were all healed Where are the other nine? Only the one from another race, a Samaritan, returned giving glory to God. Only the Samaritan returned to express God's infinite intrinsic worth. That's what it means to glorify God. Glorifying God is expressing God's infinite intrinsic worth, giving glory where it belongs to God and God alone. Arise and go forth. That's richer in meaning than the English can convey. The English just cannot express what's in the Greek. Greek, having risen up, go forth. Having risen up, that same root word is what Jesus uses to describe he will rise on the third day. That rise on the third day, rise. So having risen up, same word, root word, Jesus uses to describe, and I will rise on the third day. Meaning after he was crucified, dead, and buried, Jesus would rise on the third day. So not only has this Samaritan's flesh been healed, something more, much more, has happened. As if rising from the dead and going forth. Rising from the dead, going forth, why? Faith. Your faith has healed you. Faith. Faith has come to him. Faith has made you well. Made well. Made well. That Greek word, it's sotza. Sotza. It means save. Your faith has saved you. Saved. Jesus says to the Samaritan, your faith has saved you. These words were not spoken to the other nine. Saving faith in the Samaritan. And the other nine? Who knows? We don't know. Not at least this moment. Does saving faith ever come to them? We don't know. But to the Samaritan, sotza, saved. Mercy was freely given to all 10. Only one responds. And saving faith comes to him as he was the only one returning, glorifying God. Only one recognized Jesus and fell at his feet and worshiped him. All 10 were physically healed. They all received the outward cure. Only one was inwardly healed, deeply inside spiritually. As Jesus said, faith has saved you. C.S. Lewis writes in The Problem of Pain, we can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is megaphone to raise a deaf world. The megaphone of pain, suffering as lepers, caused the 10 to cry out, Jesus, Master, have pity, have compassion, have mercy on us. Pain drove them to cry out to Jesus. And because of his pain, at least one of them came to know Jesus, salvation in Jesus. If he had never suffered, the Samaritan may have never come to know salvation. But because he suffered, the Samaritan came to know salvation in Christ Jesus. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning of verse 8, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, the eternal glory. We like to escape pain, escape suffering, escape hardships and challenges. But in doing so, what are you missing of the glory of God wanting to work through your life? The power of God to work a wondrous healing or the power of God to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through you and your suffering. Do I know why some people suffer and some people don't? Why a little girl having lots of fun on a swing is now a quadriplegic but still praising God? Why a wonderful young lady in her mid-20s has brain cancer and they're trying to heal it, but it comes back and suffer and go, why? Or why a middle-aged man with a laptop showing lots of drug use and other great evils is perfectly healthy and has scofflaws the law, skips the law? Why? I don't know why. But God can work through all those things to bring glory to His name. The problem with leprosy is that as your nerves die, you don't know when you injure yourself. And so you start injuries, and the injuries lead to infections. Infections lead to flesh. It just compounds itself. The loss of pain. The loss of the sense of pain. But now in our pain, and maybe the pain that's going through the culture right now, maybe that's the pain God's using to draw people to Him. And it can happen through you. And what's going on in your life, use it to His glory. Just as Jesus was on His way to Jerusalem to suffer and die on the cross for humanity's sin by paying the redeeming price with His own blood. Suffering for you, suffering for all humanity to redeem you by His grace. This mercy, this grace is freely offered to all people, all places, all times. Some respond. 9 went away. The Samaritan responded. What about you? This is why we gather on Sunday mornings in worship together as the family, beloved, faith in Christ, is to give thanks to those manifold mercies. It's to worship and honor and give glory to God. As we sang a moment ago in Rock of Ages, Thou must save and Thou alone. Through His pain, the leper came to know Jesus saves. As His skin was restored, as He returned giving thanks, glorifying God, He came to Sotsa, salvation by faith. And that is true for anyone who's suffering in pain. You can come to Christ and know salvation in Christ. As Christ has freely given, let us all freely give thanks and worship for the daily mercies given to us. We think of the great wondrous miracles, but about the little tiny things, they are daily mercies too, to give thanks, a new day to witness, a new day to say, Christ loves you. So you think of all these things together. 10 unclean, nowhere to go. 10 men cleansed as clean as snow. 1 returned to give God thanks. And 9 went away. Let us be the ones that always give thanks. Let us worship and proclaim Christ and His mercy freely given to all. Amen. And amen.